You're listening to Vatican Radio. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick. As we know, Blessed John Paul II experienced the physical suffering that comes with age. Earlier still, he had also tasted a deeper kind of suffering connected with the brush with death when he was targeted by a gunman in St. Peter's Square on the 13th of May 1981. Yet this Polish pontiff did not see his physical limitations as a burden, but as salvific, as some of the guests in the programme you're about to hear witness. Among them, an American cardinal who was one of those privileged to call on John Paul II when he was taken to hospital after the assassination attempt. In this programme, you can also hear a very personal selection of segments from Pope John Paul II's speeches from our very own Vatican Radio archives. So get ready to listen to his voice once again.
Through the cross, the gospel of suffering is revealed to Christians as the path to resurrection. The gospel of suffering is written by those who suffer together with Christ, being united with him in his messianic mission.
To live with Christ, to be joint heir with Christ, to enter into his life, his glory, one must suffer with Christ.
No one doubted that Pope John Paul suffered much in his years as Bishop of Rome. It was clear to all of us who saw him, especially in the last months of his life. But it was perhaps the people nearest him who saw it up close, like American-born Cardinal William Wakefield Baum, who says the ailing Pope understood his suffering to be his special vocation.
It isn't just suffering, the result of sin or human weakness, our limitations, but it is a way in which we are conformed to Christ and grow in holiness, enter more and more into the mystery. Now that is a key theme, a motif, in all of his writings.
Writings that no doubt will be read by many future generations, because nothing that the Pope wrote was more credible than what he wrote about suffering. His words on this theme were not plucked from abstract conjecture or pious theological reflection, rather they were born of his own physical trials and ailments. Like all people, the Pope experienced the normal aches and pains that come with old age and frail health. But he also tasted another, deeper kind of suffering, one that few people know, that of being disliked and contested, to the point that another human being would want to actually kill him. The terrifying events of May the 13th, 1981 are well known.
La folla è tutta in piedi, non commenta quasi la scena tragica cui hanno assistito.
Pope John Paul II survived the assassination attempt, and in a dramatic and moving visit to a Roman prison, he forgave the gunman who shot him, Ali Agca. But what's seldom talked about is something those of us who knew the Pope quite clearly saw, that this brush with death, while it did not so much change the Pope's life, certainly strengthened his resolve.
He was determined to continue doing what he had been doing. Sometimes it's asked, well, did it change his modus vivendi, modus agendi? I would say no. He continued to do exactly what he had been doing before. And with this added, heightened and deepened sense about the meaning of suffering. And in the first audience, he made that clear, that he was going to continue his ministry, the office of Peter, just as he had. And one noted that he didn't in any way spare himself.
It is a joy for me to be once again in St. Peter's Square. I have come to this general audience with gratitude to God for his great mercy in saving my life, and I thank our Blessed Lady for her maternal protection. This has indeed turned out to be a special grace for me and for the whole church.
The assassination attempt was only the first chapter of a long story of suffering for Pope John Paul. There was an unspecified abdominal surgery to remove what doctors later called a benign tumour. There were numerous falls, not always reported to the public, one of which resulted in a broken hip. And there were the constant reports and denials of other illnesses and diseases such as cancer and Parkinson's syndrome. These physical ailments took an immense toll on the once hale and hardy Pope.
It's true, and, you know, it was a long time that he was not the, quote, the man he used to be.
Sister Nancy Chelaski, a school sister of St. Francis, worked at the Vatican newspaper L'Osservatore Romano from 1985 to 1993. Like all of us who work in the Vatican media, she remembers the panic caused each time there was a health crisis surrounding Pope John Paul.
But of course, the phone calls were coming. What is going on? Could somebody please tell me what happened to the Pope? And we had only the communiques that everybody else did. So, you know, there we are trying to figure out what's going on and at the same time answer the questions of everybody else. And it seemed like, you know, this is something very serious. And of course, right away, when anything happens to the Pope, everybody keeps wondering who will be the next Pope, because how long is this guy going to last?
Last he did. And during his long pontificate, Pope John Paul II showed an amazing ability to quickly bounce back from illness and injury. But after hip surgery in 1994, he never again regained tip-top form, something that at first frustrated him terribly. To many of us, it seemed almost a cruel joke that a man who'd begun his pontificate with such Samson-like vigour and strength should end up being handed over into the arms of infirmity. But Pope John Paul did not see it that way. After the initial aggravation with the situation, he not only accepted his physical limitations, but used them to his and everyone else's advantage.
While he was in the hospital, during the period of recuperation, perhaps you know, he received all of the cardinals of the Curia, one by one. He would inquire of us what was going on. He wanted to know, be brought up to date on how things were moving. And then he encouraged us and reminded us all that he was offering his sufferings also for the work of his colleagues who were serving him and serving the church. And we experienced that very much, the effects of his prayerful suffering for us.
People associate hip replacements with very frail elderly people who are at the beginning of the end. And this Pope lasted quite some time after that hip replacement. What a lesson that was, that in a society that likes everybody to be young and beautiful and healthy, and some people were saying, you know, is this guy going to ever resign, or what are we going to do with him? Yet there was a man who did not hesitate to appear on stage, on live broadcast, to travel the world as an old, frail and infirm man, hobbling sometimes down the steps of the airplanes, at times having to have a lift to help him down. And yet, I think it was a great lesson for a lot of people, his acceptance of his age and infirmity and frailty.
Although God allows suffering to exist in the world, he does not enjoy it. Indeed, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God made man, loved the sick. He devoted a great part of his earthly ministry to healing the sick and comforting the afflicted. Our God is a God of compassion and consolation, and he expects us to take the ordinary means to prevent, relieve, and remove suffering and sickness.
And it's with a very personal selection from Pope John Paul II's speeches that we conclude this segment of This Pope We Choose to Remember.
I've had borne witness to the message of God's love as revealed in Jesus Christ. I have sought to confirm my Catholic brothers and sisters in the faith, and I have lifted up
my heart in prayer together with many others who believe in Christ. In all that has been said and done, I have recalled the evangelical values that Christians hold in common and offer to mankind. I thank God for all that I have received from you, and I pray that the message which I have brought will help all of you to discover greater happiness, peace, and fulfillment. As you work for peace in your own hearts, in your families, and in your churches and communities, may you continue to know the abiding strength and lofty vision which faith alone can give.
You've been listening to Vatican Radio. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.